This podcast is called My Intercessor. God's intervention is often the result of our intercession. After the amazing event in my room of 1981 with the Holy Spirit, it left me with a very puzzling question. I knew something about praying, but this word intercession puzzled me. In my pursuit, I encountered a book on the life of Rees Howell, the intercessor. Norman Grubbs wrote this account, and I was speechless as I read about him and several other men of prayer and compared their testimonies with the Word. The following truths have greatly impacted my life and ministry ever since. In my scriptural search, I read in Matthew 12:29 about binding the strong man. In James 4:7, it tells us to submit to God, resist the devil, and he must flee. In John 15:7, it says, keep his command and abide in his love. 1 John 2:6 goes on to say, he who says he abides in him ought to himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Rees Howell maintained this abiding by spending a set time of waiting upon God every day during the period in which the intercession lasted. The Holy Spirit would then speak to him through the Word, revealing any standard that he was to come up to, particularly in the laws of the kingdom. Sermon on the Mount. Any command the Spirit gave him, he must fulfill, because the way of abiding is keeping of his commandments, as shown in John 15, verse number 10. The Spirit would also search Rees Howell's heart and throw light upon his daily life, revealing any motives or actions that needed confessing and cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ. It became apparent that the areas the Holy Spirit was dealing with were not so much with the outward shortcoming, but rather the self-nature from which they sprang. Howell was purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit, as in 1 Peter 1:2, the life is in the vine, the power in Christ. As an intercessor remains united to him, by abiding in him, his power operates through the intercessor and accomplishes that what needs to be done. Howell constantly spoke of guarding his place of abiding. A scripture key is in 1 John 2, verse number 6. Quote, he says, he who abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. As Howell would continue in this place of abiding day by day, he would be increasingly conscious that the Spirit was engaging the enemy in battle and overcoming it, until finally victory would be assured. The Spirit would then tell Howell that his intercession was finished, as the position had been gained, and he would await the visible deliverance in praise and faith. There are degrees and stages of abiding. The deeper our conscious union with Christ, the more the power of the risen life of Christ can operate through the channel, and new positions of spiritual authority be gained. Oh, I like this point. Rees Howell's abiding was always according to the light given up to that time. In that sense, abiding for a particular period of time could be called perfect, and the victory claimed, though there would still be further ways in which he was to become more like the Savior. God wants to deal with our nature, getting deep down to our motives. It's a daily dying of death, burial, and resurrection. He was purified in obeying the truth through the Spirit, 1 Peter 1, verse number 22. As the intercessor remains united to God by abiding in him, his power operates through the intercessor and accomplishes what needs to be done. In Isaiah 53:12, God saw that there was no intercessor. This implies that God seeks intercessors but seldom finds them. The Lord said in Ezekiel 22:30, I sought for a man amongst them who would take up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, but I found none. Many today are confused with regard to intercession. They feel that God is just some sort of a form of intensified prayer. Well, this is true, yet only as long as there is great emphasis on the word intensified. There are three things to be seen in intercession which are not necessarily found in ordinary prayer. Number one, identification. Number two, Holy Spirit and agony. And number three, authority. There is a difference between a prayer warrior and an intercessor. A prayer warrior can pray for a thing to be done without necessarily being willing for the answer to come through himself. And he is not even bound to continue in the prayer until such time as it is answered. An intercessor is responsible to gain his objective, and he can never be free till he has gained it. Or he will go to any lengths for the prayer to be answered through his intercession. But once a position of intercession has been gained, tested, and proved, the intercessor can claim all the blessings on that grade, whatever it is God's will for him to do. Before God can use a chosen vessel into such a life of intercession, he must first have to deal with all that is natural, such as love of money, personal ambition, unnatural attachment to parents or loved ones, the appetite of the body, the love of the life itself, and all that makes even a converted man live unto himself for his own comfort and advantage. This indicates the converted man's attachment to his own advancement or even his own circle of friends. All must be nailed to the cross. Wow, this is really an important point. Paul's testimony must be ours. I have been and still am crucified with Christ. The self must be released from itself to become the agent of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 2:20. As I thought on these things, the Lord gave me two prime examples, Moses and Paul. Moses leaves the place by free choice to identify himself with his slave brethren. He accompanied them through the waste and howling wilderness. Then he reaches the very summit of intercession when the wrath of God is upon them for their adultery and their destruction becomes intimate. Exodus 32 shows that it's not his body Moses now offers for them, but his immortal soul. If you will forgive their sins, and if not, blot out me, I pray of your book, Moses, called this Making Atonement for Them. Paul was the greatest man of the new dispensation, just as Moses was of the old. For years, his body, through the Holy Spirit, was a living sacrifice that the Gentiles might have the gospel. Finally, his immortal soul was offered on the altar. In Romans 8, Paul is rejoicing with the Romans that nothing could separate him then from the love of God. Then moments later in Romans 9, he says, the Spirit bearing him witness that he could wish in himself accursed, separated from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. This is the intercessor in action. I like this point very much. Then the Holy Spirit can really live his life in a chosen vessel. There is no limit to the extremes to which he will take them in his passion to warm and save the lost. Here are some radical examples for men to win the lost. Isaiah is one of them. This aristocrat for 3 years was called to go naked and barefooted to emphasize the seriousness of God's warning to Israel. We can hardly conceive of such a thing today. Don't you agree? Then there is Hosea, who was called to marry a harlot in order to show the people that the heavenly husband was willing to take back the adulterous bride. Now there's the man Jeremiah. He was not allowed to marry as a warning to Israel against the terror and tragedies of captivities. Then the man Ezekiel. He was not allowed to shed one tear for the death of his wife, the desires of his eyes. This list could be continued. Every individual who is greatly used as an instrument of God has been in some measure an intercessor. We have many contemporary examples as well. Wesley intercedes for backsliding England. Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, intercedes for the downward, ousted ones. We also have men like Hudson Taylor interceding for China and C.T. Sutts interceding for the unevangelized world. Intercession is more than the Holy Spirit sharing His groanings with us and living His life of sacrifice for the world through us. It is the Holy Spirit gaining His desire, now listen to this, gaining His desire to pour out an abundance of grace. It is the intercessor, as he knows this identification and agony, he also knows authority. It is the law of the corn and the wheat and the harvest. If it dies, it brings forth fruit. Intercession is not substitution for sin. There has only been one substitute for the world, that we should never put God to the test. Saints, don't you like this man's life, Rees Howe, as he was the intercessor? But I want you to also consider, is this what God has called you to?